Mallory's confirmation verse, Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Here ends the text. 1D sounds like an apartment number and a strange sermon title. But Mallory probably knows it's the common abbreviation for the popular British band One Direction. I thought a fitting title for her confirmation Sunday because, after all, we only want her to go one direction. Yet there are two directions in the world. One away from God, the other toward God. You might think it's obvious which direction a person is heading. In some cases, that's true. Unbelief, immorality, blasphemy are obviously going away from God. Faith, praise, and thanks to the true God are going toward Him. But it's not always that clear, Mallory, especially in our own hearts. On Easter, we found Mary Magdalene going to the tomb, but she wasn't going toward God. She was heading to the God she thought had failed. Later, when Jesus showed himself to her, she headed away from the tomb, but this time it was toward God and to the disciples to tell them that Jesus had risen. In the gospel for today, we find the Emmaus disciples going the wrong direction. Here's where you need to pick up your ears. These disciples are talking about Jesus, his innocent suffering and brutal death on the cross. These disciples are talking about he forgave sins from the cross and promised a thief paradise that very day. These disciples are talking about Jesus saying, "It is finished." These disciples are talking about the empty tomb, the angels, and a risen Jesus, but they are heading away from God. They're disappointed in the church, and they're heading away from it. But they've still got the facts and the language of faith. They think they're heading in one direction, but it's really the other. Mallory, there are only two directions, two paths, two destinations. Your whole life, you're going to be going one direction or the other. And though you're not even in high school yet, we're asking you today to declare the direction you're going. The rite of confirmation, which takes place after a period of instruction, dates back to apostolic times. Originally, it was dramatic, it was emphatic, and it was obvious which direction the confirmands were taking. They did as you will do. They renounced the devil, all his works, and all his ways, but they did it with their backs to the altar, facing the outside world. Then when they confessed the creed, they turned and they faced the altar. The one direction you're heading, Mallory, is the font, the altar, the pulpit. The direction you're heading away from is the devil, all his works, and all his ways. There are two directions in the world, but there's only one direction with God. And he chose you, Mallory, before the foundation of the world to head towards him. The choice was between you and Jesus. As you continue your education, you're going to be presented with made-up ethical dilemmas. For example, if you could save your husband or father from drowning, who would you choose? If you could only save your baby or your husband from burning, which would it be? I've never been sure of the value of those kind of hypothetical discussions, but I will say that was the real choice before the Heavenly Father. He could either save his only beloved son, who never did anything wrong, or he could save you, who can't do anything right. The Father chose to save you. But that meant his holy, kind, delightful boy Jesus would be drowned in God's cup of wrath and burned in the fires of hell for an eternity on the cross. That's the choice God made from before the world was created that led to you being here today to be confirmed in the faith. Because you were chosen before time, In time, God claimed you as his own in holy baptism. In time, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost applied the precious blood of Christ to you through the waters of baptism, marking you as one of the chosen ones, sealing you as a member of the body of Christ. From your view, confirmation has been an extra hour and a half of school for 3 years, memorizing, testing, writing, and in some cases, rewriting. From God's point of view, it was him teaching you what he did for you in Christ and to you in baptism, so that you might meet him today for the first time in Holy Communion. You might be thinking, wasn't there less painful ways of doing this? At least the writing? Nope, not for sinners like you and me. Look at the apostles. They didn't go to their first Lord's Supper till after 3 years of instruction. Though Jesus didn't make them write, he did what I never did. I never called you Satan. Jesus called Peter that. I never called you a son of thunder. Jesus called James and John that. I did test you with questions, as Jesus did Philip. And now you're ready, Mallory, to meet your Lord in bread and wine. This isn't new, better, or different forgiveness than you have received in baptism or in absolution. This is not richer forgiveness than you pray for daily in the Lord's Prayer. It's more emphatic in this sense. The world you live in pulls you in the other direction, appealing to all five senses. In communion with his body bread and his blood wine, Jesus preaches to your senses of sight, sound, smell, touch, and taste that you belong to him. He is your body and blood brother, leading you, guiding you, carrying you one direction. But your Lord's one direction shows itself in your life in two different ways. And that's why I chose for you what some may think is a strange confirmation verse. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Thanks a lot, Pastor. My whole life, anger and weeping are now part of my confirmation verse. It's worse than that, Mallory. They are going to be part of your life. But not just yours. They're part of the life of any Christian going 1D. There is God's anger in our life. The Hebrew word for anger comes from the word for nostril, nose, or face. It's anger that manifests itself in hard breathing, flared nostrils, and a contorted face. Remember how the Hulk, just before he changes, says, "You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." Well, not one of us wants to see God angry, but that's what we see in the law. May you never, ever want to see, let alone think you can tolerate, seeing God angry with you. Mallory, you're the first confirmand who's lived your whole life in the 21st century, where God is openly mocked, the idea of his judgment laughed at, the concept that there are eternal standards God holds the whole world to, considered ridiculous. May this never be you. When you were in confirmation, you were just a child who didn't want to make or see me mad. Never lose that childlike fear of God's wrath, and never lose the tears. In a fallen world, among fallen people, there can't be laughter all the time. There will be weeping. Here the Hebrew means great lamenting, wailing, distilling water. The tears part are emphasized. We'd say sobbing. The law will do that to us. We sin against someone or they against us, and tears result. Death is the greatest preaching of the law, and sobbing certainly comes from that. If I could, I would spare you the tears. But I can't. No one can. Those going 1D are on a trail of tears, but not forever. Not even for long. You're going to need the law the rest of your life, Mallory, but you don't need it every minute of your life. And you don't need to live under it. God's anger at sin lasts only a moment. Literally, it's the wink of an eye. When God's law is exposing your sins, it seems like forever. I do this, I do that, I do that wrong. I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do that right. It can seem like forever, but God only means for his anger to last for the blink of an eye. It's the same thing with sobbing. Oh, how the law can painfully show you every dark, seedy, embarrassing, heartbreaking thing you ever did against God and everyone else. But God would not keep you in tears always. Your confirmation verse says, sobbing tears may lodge, may stop over. They may pass a night with you, but he doesn't want you drowning in them. The law is God's foreign, alien, strange work to show you your sins, to show you that you're turning away from the one direction. But once it does that, the law's work is done. Once you've seen the Hulk angry, turn away. You can't turn him back to Bill Bannister with your excuses or promises to do better. And once the law has reduced you to tears, as it did Peter, the sinful woman in Luke 7, and David in Psalm 32, the law has stayed long enough with you. Time to kick him out of the house. God's proper work, the thing he delights in doing, Mallory, is telling you that you are forgiven, promising you that you've been reborn in baptism, and feeding you with his son's body and blood. You can see this because while his anger lasts for the blink of an eye, he says his favor lasts a lifetime. While weeping may pass a brief night with you, not just quiet rejoicing, but a ringing shout of joy comes to stay in the morning. The imagery of the shortness of the law and the lifelong shouting joy of the gospel is to teach you that God wills that you don't become bogged down in the law. Your three great enemies, the devil, the world, and your own sinful nature, will tell you that you haven't felt bad enough for long enough to hear the gospel. No. You have to look at God's enraged face and feel his hot breath till you feel sorry enough. And you can't be done with sobbing over how badly you've let your Lord, your family, and faith down. Oh no, you need to cry till you can feel you have a right to be forgiven. Mal, that's the wrong direction. God preaches his law to you to turn you one direction, to the gospel. As soon as the law shows you the fallen person that you are, look to the font and remember that you've been reborn. As soon as the law puts your sins on top of you, you remember that the absolution has removed your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. As soon as the law has made you taste the bitter tears of your sins, you taste the Lord's body that he gave for you for bread and the Lord's blood that he gave to you for wine. Taste and know that the body and blood of Jesus can only be taking you one direction. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.